Ohio State football coming up this weekend, and you can hear it here on AM 930 WEOL. And it's going to be what we think should be another bloodbath as they take on Rutgers this weekend. And there are a lot of questions surrounding that team right now, and I'm not 100% sure why. But in order to get those questions answered, we bring in one of our good buddies from WBNS-TV in Columbus. We've got Sean Dunnigan on the line with us. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
Boy, it sounds like you guys are doing a lot better than I am. Pizza and massages and there at Cracker Park.
Right? I mean, look, if it was possible for me to save some of this stuff for you, Dunny, I would do that. You know, you and I go way back, my friend, so I would save some of that for you, but I also don't want you to get sick. I'm not sure how much of a shelf life it's got, but this stuff rules. And we've got Danny Boy's pizza out here. We've got some salad out here, some pasta. We're loving it. We are having a great time down here. Next time you're in town, maybe we'll have to bring you out here to Crocker Park. Even though that's not on your side of town, we can make it your side of town.
That sounds good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great, buddy. Hey, before we get into the matchup against Rutgers this week, what were the major takeaways for you anyways from that 54-21 win over UNLV last week?
The major takeaway for me was the quarterback play and the, you know, JT Barrett kind of got back to the old JT Barrett, you know, 12 of 17 passing, 207 yards, 5 touchdown passes to 5 different receivers, threw the ball around, distributed the ball around, which is what people wanted to see. So that was good to see. You got to see a little bit of Dwayne Haskins in his first really extended during the time. He threw the ball really well for the most part. Had a couple of freshman mistakes, including throwing a pick six. And then you got to see Joe Burrow come in. But overall, the quarterback play really impressed me on this past Saturday.
Well, that leads me to my next question, Dunny. You know, JT Barrett has thrown 10 touchdowns to 1 interception so far this season. You mentioned that you were impressed with the quarterback play altogether last week. What are your thoughts on his performance so far this season? Now, fairly or unfairly, it just kind of feels like he's been beat up a lot, and he took a lot of the blame for that loss to Oklahoma. But what are your thoughts on Barrett's performance so far this season?
I think his performance has been pretty good this season. You know, yes. And it is what everybody expected when Kevin Wilson came in here. We were expecting them to be throwing the deep ball, you know, 100 times a game, and that's not going to happen. That's not smart for it to happen. But I think overall his, you know, JT Barrett's accuracy has thoroughly improved a little bit. And I also think that the deep balls that he has thrown, that they have gotten better. As the quarterback of any team, you're going to get unfair criticism when you lose. You're going to get a majority of the credit when you win. So no matter what, you're going to be a lot on your shoulders as the quarterback of a big school, especially like Ohio State. I think JT Barrett showed himself why he is the starter and why he is a 3-time captain. And now he is literally, you know, rewriting the record books at Ohio State and in the Big Ten Conference.
Sean, obviously J.K. Dobbin, I mean, came on in tremendous fashion against Indiana University. Then he just kept it going. I mean, right up into last week, it seems every week we see something else crazy we didn't think this guy could do. You've been watching this team from the beginning, man. Has it been like this? And what have you seen from him? Is there a limit to the talent this guy can bring?
No, right now, I mean, you're seeing what he's doing. I mean, he's only a freshman. Mike Weber did last year. Mike Weber had a rising freshman last year as a true freshman, as a freshman from Cass Tech in Detroit. The biggest thing will be is what happens now. Urban Meyer said on Monday that Mike Weber is 100% and, more importantly, will play. So what happens to J.K. Dobbins' carry? What happens to Mike Weber's carry? How does this backfield go? And then remember, JT Barrett's a pretty good runner in himself. So overall, how does everything go in this backfield? I think you'll see a lot of that on Saturday against Rutgers.
We're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Buckeyes taking on Rutgers this weekend. Dunny, before the year began, we had talked to you about some of the expectations entering the season. The secondary was one of those areas where folks seemed to be really concerned because they were going to be very, very young there. They were replacing a lot of bodies in that secondary. Do you think that secondary has been better than expected so far this season?
No, I do not. I think that they're playing okay, but playing pretty decent. You got to remember, they lost 6 guys in the last 2 years in the NFL draft. You're talking players like Malik Hooker, who already has two picks in the NFL and two career starts with the Indianapolis Colts. Players like that, and you can't always have the rebuild like you did last season. I think they're playing an admirable job, but you see a little bit of growing pains. You see them not looking back at the ball a lot on the deep ball, and that's where they get hit with a lot of the pass interference calls that they've been getting. So I think that the secondary has been playing okay. Are they at expectations? My expectations, no, they're not there. I don't think they're even close to exceeding them if they're not there yet, at least my expectations for the secondary at Ohio State.
Donnie, I want to get your thoughts also on some comments made by Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh after that game against Purdue this past weekend. Not necessarily about the hit on the quarterback. I think everybody's got a different opinion on that. But, boy, it struck something with me when he talked about the Purdue facilities. Now, look, of all the football games you and I have covered together, you know, we see some MAC facilities. We think they aren't too bad, but we would certainly like to believe that the Big Ten facilities are much, much better. He made it sound like this was a problem throughout the conference. I think what he was really upset about was the idea that it took a little bit too long for his player to be seen. Medically, I think there were some concerns there on his behalf, but he really took some shots at Purdue's facilities. Now, of all the Big Ten facilities that you've seen, you agree with Harbaugh? You think the Big Ten's got an issue with the facilities and the way the visiting teams are treated, or do you think this is Harbaugh just being Harbaugh?
I do think Jim Harbaugh has a point, you know, and don't take my word for it. Don't take Jim Harbaugh's word for it. Take Urban Meyer's word for it. He agreed with Jim Harbaugh on Monday in his press conference when he was asked that at the end of it. You know, he was asked, do you think that the Big Ten needs to improve the opposing team's facilities? He said, yes, he does, 100%. I've been to Purdue. I've been in those facilities. Now, mind you, this was maybe 10 years ago, so I'm thinking it's changed a little bit. But, you know, there is no AC. There is no heat in there. You know, when we did press conferences, and all you saw was really a lot of smoke just from the steam, from the heat, or from the condensation of everything happening. There's no X-ray facility on site. You have to go to the hospital, which is a mile or so away from the stadium to get somebody seen. And that was the big thing that I think Coach Harbaugh was not happy with, the fact that there's no medical facility on site to do something like an X-ray. And if he's trying to get somebody to be seen and for him to make this decision to get out there, not having a X-ray facility on site, that hurts him. And I think that's what hurts a lot of opposing teams in the Big Ten. You hear that, you know Iowa has a pink locker room for the opposing team, and you hear that. As Urban Meyer said, the time for gamesmanship back in the 70s and 80s, that's kind of over with now. He would like to see all the opposing locker rooms be updated, and that could include Ohio State as well.
Isn't that sort of the Big Ten, though? I mean, it's always been that nitty-gritty kind of conference, blue-collar from the Midwest. That's the way they do it.
Absolutely. And that's true. That is the way they do it. But you also have to update your facility so it is up-to-date in 2017 with having medical facilities on site. So you have training tables that are adequate, more than one training table to have people on site to look at your players. And that's the other thing is you have to upgrade to what the times are now instead of everything back, in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Again, we're being joined by Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus talking about the Buckeyes, and let's transition into their matchup against Rutgers this weekend, Dunny. Rutgers off to a tough start this year. They're 1-3. They're coming off of a 27-17 loss against Nebraska. What are the Buckeyes saying about the Scarlet Knights? What kinds of challenges do they pose this weekend?
Urban Meyer said on Monday that this is the most improved defense in the Big Ten from last year, that the Scarlet Knights have. He's very impressed with their defense. One of their touchdowns against Nebraska came on a pick six to start the second half. Their secondary is pretty decent. It's going to be a good test for JT Barrett and the wide receivers to see what they're able to do against the Scarlet Knights. And you also have to look at, I think it was a couple people from Penn State who, when they were asked what's the loudest stadium they play in or what's one of the toughest road games they play at, and they said it's at Rutgers. The crowd gets loud at Rutgers. And so, you know, Buckeyes, I know, were practicing yesterday with some crowd noise. You wouldn't really think that when you think Rutgers. You don't think crowd noise, but apparently, I've never been there for a game, but apparently it's got some good bass to it, I guess you could say.
It can get pretty rowdy out there in that Jersey Shore.
That's what
absolutely.
I hear, yeah. I've seen footage. That's sort of fascinating. You bring that up because to steal a line from Gordon Gee, former president of Ohio State, it always seemed like Rutgers was sort of that, well, the sister of the poor or whatever it was that he made reference to. And it'll be interesting to see how this game goes against Rutgers, obviously, for all the obvious reasons. But what do you think the Buckeyes need to do in this game to show? Because right now I'm a little worried. I saw that Iowa Penn State game; those are two teams coming up on the Buckeye schedule. What do you think the Buckeyes need to do in this game to improve so that I don't have to worry about those games anymore, Sean?
Well, and those games you're going to have to worry about because you won't see really the Buckeyes face a big test until that Penn State game on the 28th, I believe. You know, you have Rutgers, you have Maryland. Maryland's on their third-string quarterback. And then you have your bye week going into the Penn State game and then at Iowa. The biggest thing the Buckeyes have to do, I think, is just work on the consistency. Be more consistent when it comes to passing to all facets of their games, especially in the secondary, in the passing game. They do that, I think people will start to feel a little bit more easy about, you know, what lies ahead. But what lies ahead is going to be a very tough task.
All right, Dunny, what's your final call on this game? We're asking for a big-time Sean Dunnigan prediction. Who do you say wins and by how much?
I think Rutgers is more improved than they were last year. They seem to get more than, I think, 78 yards that they had last year against Ohio State. However, they're not that much more improved. I think Buckeyes roll, I'll go 48-7.
Wow. Okay. 48-7, says Sean Dunnigan. Okay. Well,
and don't be surprised if Dwayne Haskins gets in there in the third quarter.
We need – okay. All right, so we'll look for that on Saturday. Right. Yeah, we're looking forward to that on Saturday. Big high school matchup on Friday night in Columbus, my man. Who you got?
Well, we got a few of them. Our game of the week is Bishop Reedy, where I'm at now, waiting to talk to their head coach and see if their team practice. They're taking on Amanda Clear Creek. Both teams are 4-1. We also have Gahanna Lincoln taking on Pickerington Central, and then Pickerington North taking on Reynoldsburg. All those teams are 4-1. A big week in Central Ohio for high school football. And first and 10 on 10 TV.
Outstanding stuff as always, my man. Dunny, thanks for giving us some of your time, and we will do this again next week.
Absolutely, guys, and don't be too relaxed in that massage table. You guys enjoy it out there.
We'll see if we can't send some of that relaxation down your way.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Donnie, you too. That's Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus talking Buckeye football with us. Don't forget, you can listen to that game between the Buckeyes and Scarlet Knights on Saturday night right here on AM 930 WEOL.